You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy and as always, I am your host. And today with me, I have Becky and she is going to be talking to us all about statements and how to best understand them. And we're going to address some common questions that we've heard over the years. We might be touching on some information that we've talked about before. Specifically, I know there'll be some things that we've talked about in our recent episode where we had Molly Martin on talking about some of the terms that you'll see on your statement. But yeah, Becky, thank you so much for being here with us today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Introduce yourself to the audience here.
Oh, of course. My name is Becky Madsen. I am the Vernon branch manager. I've been with the bank for 5 years, in banking for 9. And my job pretty much is to facilitate a really good career growth for my staff and to help customers with anything and everything they could have with the banking side of it.
Yeah, and you have customers, I'm sure, who have questions on their statement all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, so let's get right into it here. When we're talking about our statement, one of the common things that people have questions on, and I mentioned this already, are some of the terms or phrases or little acronyms that you see on there. Can we just go through some of these really common ones that you might see on your statement or on even your online banking activity and explain what they are and what they mean?
Oh, yeah, of course. So one of the common terms that you'll see on your statements is ACH, mm-hmm. and that stands for Automated Clearinghouse. Now, that can either be coming into your account or going out of your account, and that's either going to be payments that you've set up for, like, loans or utility bills or stuff, or it's going to be, like, direct deposits will come in as an ACH as well. Mm-hmm. AFTs are Automated Fund Transfers. Those are more bank internal. So it's something that you set up with us at the bank to do a transfer for you, not an exterior company.
Mm-hmm. So like when your paycheck is coming in, that's probably going to be an ACH. But if you have once a month where you're having money automatically taken from your checking to your savings, that's probably going to be an AFT or the automatic funds transfer.
Yep. Yeah. And the AFT can be for like loan payments within the bank as well. We see that a lot. POS or point of sale, you're going to see that with your debit card a lot. That's going to be whenever you're making a purchase. A lot of the times when the purchase initially comes through your account, you're going to see the POS, and then it'll change to saying debit card.
Yeah. And the reason it says POS or point of sale is because the cash register is technically a point of sale. It's the mm-hmm. point in which you have purchased the products. Becky makes a good point that you may see it change from a POS transaction to just a debit card transaction because it usually takes a day or two for things to go through processing and finalize on a statement. So you may not see the POS as much on the actual final statement, but you'll probably see that on your daily activity on your online banking.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you're going to be looking at your online banking a lot, you'll see it on there. The other ones we can see is credit or CRE and debit DBT. So that's money coming in and out. So it's kind of just like you'll see with the ACHs, they could have debit or credit attached to them, showing that it's coming in or coming out of your account.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these different terminologies are going to be different depending on the institution or maybe even on where the payment is coming from or the type of transfer. You might see a whole variety of these different things. Some of them mean similar things. Like you said, credit and debit are just kind of the catch-all for money going in or out. And then we have a couple more here that you might see on there that people might have questions about if you want to go over those as well.
Yeah, transfer, and this can be abbreviated in a lot of different ways. I know the one way that we do it here at our bank is XFER, so it's just a shorthand of transfer, and that's between your two accounts. So whether you're doing it via online banking or you are doing it by calling us and having us transfer it for you, you could see that. And then pre or pre-arranged, it's a payment that was set up in advance for something like a credit card. We don't see those as much. We see more of the ACH and stuff, but that is a term that could be used.
Yeah, and again, it all depends on the way that you're paying it or the institution you're paying. They might have it set up in a different way, like some of your insurances or your credit cards may come out as an ACH, but some of it may come out as a pre-arranged payment or the PRE, like you said.
Yep.
I know on mine specifically, it's kind of a mixture of both depending on what it is. And then talking about statements and how they're made, so, you know, we get to the end of the month, statements are getting cut. why is it that sometimes there's one statement with multiple accounts on it, or you may have it where you are a signer or owner on multiple different accounts, but they get cut into several different statements? Why is that that, you know, specifically at our institution, and I know other institutions do this as well, why are they separated that way, or how are they separated out in that way?
So it really depends on combined statements. That's the big word. And it's done at different institutions very differently. It's not all the same everywhere. Some institutions will put everything on one. Ours, we don't. We do it by the account holder. So if it's a personal account and you're a joint on multiple accounts, you will see all of those accounts on your statements. But if you're a signer on a business, that's not going to show up on your personal statements. So we keep those separate between personal and business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And typically the it's tied to, you know, your tax key, like what accounts your tax key or your tax identification or social security number is tied to. Okay, so you've got your statement, you're looking over some of these charges. Sometimes you may see a charge from a company that you're not really sure what the charge is. Is there a way for you as the banker to know what these charges are or what you've been charged for from these different companies?
That completely depends on the charge. Most of the time, what you see on your statement is what we're going to see on the statement. The only difference is if it's a debit card. Sometimes when debit cards are put through like an online platform, we can get a phone number or something with that, but not all the time. So usually what you're seeing on the statement is what we're seeing. And so when you call us to ask, we just go on Google and start trying to find what company it's for.
Yeah. So if you see like a charge from Walmart, us at the bank, we unfortunately can't see, was that a fee? Was it purchasing a product? We can just basically see the same thing you can, that it was just a dollar amount spent at Walmart on a certain date. So you'll ultimately need to reach out to whatever place the money was spent to get some more details on that transaction, or if it was a fee or something like that. And another question that I know we get asked a lot is, where is my statement? Why haven't I seen it? And what are some of the common reasons that people run into that issue?
So there's like three big reasons I can think of. One is that you are signed up for electronic statements and you forgot you signed up for electronic statements, or you have a joint owner on the account that signed up for electronic statements. So because they're getting them, you're not going to get one in the mail. Or for like businesses, sometimes they have their statements mailed to accountants, so it's sent to a different place.
Yeah, so definitely start by double checking those to make sure the electronic statements aren't getting sent to you and you're just not seeing them. And then another question kind of going off of that is, if an account has multiple signers, is it possible to get multiple statements for that account? Like if me and my spouse both were signers on a checking account, we both wanted to get the electronic statements, could we do that?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, my husband and I do that. So he has his checking and he gets his statements, but I also get the statements on my end as well.
Mm-hmm. So just because, like Becky was mentioning, typically the electronic statements will just get sent to the primary account owner or whoever signed up for the statements. If you are also a signer on that, you can receive those electronic statements as well. You would just need to check with your institution on their electronic documents page, on their digital banking platform, how to sign up for those and make sure that you're receiving those. So we're talking about electronic statements here, and you know, the big question we do get is, what's the reason I should do electronic statements over paper statements? What are the reasons why someone would want to do the electronic statements over getting them in the mail?
Well, the first thing I could think about, depending on your institution, is you could get fee'd for getting paper statements in the mail. Depends on the institution, and it depends on the programs the institution has. So like we have one here where you're over a certain age, you don't get fee'd on it. But that's not at every institution. The other reason would be is you're going to get your statement faster. If you want to see a statement, getting it in the online forum is going to be much faster. You're going to get it like immediately within the first 3 days of the month, or whenever your bank decides that they want to, they're having it sent out. Some people are right on the first day of the month. It really depends on the institution itself.
Mm-hmm. And another couple of reasons that I've always preferred electronic statements is, one, it's not going to get lost in the mail ever. That does happen to people sometimes, unfortunately. Your statement can get lost in the mail. And then another one is, once you sign up for electronic statements, they'll start archiving themselves, or you can go back and review old statements. So this is something that we have coming up here. If you sign up for electronic statements, will you be able to view older statements electronically, or how far back can you go to look on those electronic statements?
So for our institution, you can only go when you signed up. So if I sign up this month, I'm not going to be able to look at January's statement. I'm only going to be able to look February forward. For us, we hold it for 18 months online. Some other institutions, it depends. They'll backdate and let everything be online for you, or it'll just be going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the amount of time that they're archived, like you said, might change for institution. So if you want to download them and have them saved to your computer, then you can have however many years worth you want. And you can always get copies of old statements if you need to from your institution. And so if I wanted to get a copy of a statement from the institution, you know, for a different account, how would I go about getting one, and what might that look like? Like say I needed to get like 3 years of statements. How do we here at Citizens go about doing that?
So here at Citizens, we suggest that we do a USB drive for you, and I will send that off to my back office department, and they will put all of the years on the jump drive, and then they send it to our branch and you come and pick it up. There is a fee associated with it, but it puts everything on one spot.
Yeah. So there's always a way to get older statements. I mean, to an extent, I believe we can go back 7 years, correct, on our statements.
Yes.
And I believe that's federally regulated for institutions to hold up to 7 years of statements. You may be able to see further back, just depending on how your institution archives statements, but 7 years you can definitely see. And that's typically because when we were talking to our tax expert here, we had on Eric, he was mentioning that amendments to your taxes typically go 5, maybe back 7 years, depending on the situation. So we have that available if you were needing to go back and make some serious amendments to taxes that you filed incorrectly years ago. So with that, we're going to get into some of the do's and don'ts here with statements. And the first do I would say is do consider signing up for electronic statements. It may not be right for everyone, but I think for most people it is the better option, especially if you are going to be saving money on getting charged for having paper statements. And it's just all around more convenient for most people because holding onto a paper statement is not the most convenient for most people unless you have a very intricate filing system or you're very good at being on top of that.
Yep.
And I would say don't worry if you're unsure where to locate your bank statement online or in the mail. Ask your personal banker. If it did get lost in the mail, they should be willing to give you a copy of it. If you can't find it online, I'm sure they'll show you where to find it and download it. And I would say do think about what your charges on your statement are for before you get maybe too in the weeds asking about it or worrying about it. Obviously, feel free to ask about it. But, again, like we mentioned, consider that as an institution, we really can only see the same things you see on your statement. And if you have questions on what your charges may be, you'll likely need to reach out to whatever place charged you for that, whatever good service fee or whatever it may be. And I would say, again, don't be afraid to ask questions about your statement. Just like every topic we talk about, if you have questions, you should definitely ask a professional. In this case, ask your personal banker, because it's better to be out ahead of issues rather than trying to catch up after the fact. Even like in a situation where you're going to need statements for something, if you are signed up for electronic statements and you're downloading them, you're archiving them yourself, several years down the road, you may need copies of them. You'll have them rather than having to pay however many dollars to get years worth on a flash drive. So stuff, again, with personal finance or even business finance, doing things and being ready ahead of time can really help alleviate potential issues in the future. And that's basically, I feel like, the message we have every time on here. And with that, do you have any closing thoughts on anything we talked about today, Becky?
I would say don't be afraid of your statements. Mm-hmm. Statements are so different between different financial institutions, so they can be tricky to understand sometimes. We are always here to help understand those statements. Maybe if you bring a different institution statement to me, I'll be a little confused unless I know that one. Mm-hmm. But don't be afraid to reach out. We will always be willing to help you figure out your statements.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, we thank you so much for watching and listening with us here today. And Becky, we thank you for coming on and sharing your expertise with us. If you have any questions or if you have suggestions for future episodes or you have any feedback for us, feel free to email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's HEYTIMMY@amindformoney.com. And we thank you so much and hope you have a great rest of your day.